I'm just curious, when's the first time you played with the Baltimore Symphony?
First time was with a conductor with the magnificent name of Massimo Freccia.
Right.
Early 50s, yeah. Late 40s, something like that. It was in the lyric, of course. I remember those Greek nymphs on the curtains backstage. The stage set was Grecian urns and Grecian nymphs.
What did you play?
What did I play? It might have been, at that time in my life, it might have been Liszt A major, Liszt second.
Nice. There's a million things I would love to ask you. Things like, did George Sell ever smile? I'd love to know that.
Yes. He even had a sense of humor and told stories about his fellow conductors. There's this wonderful story of Klemperer. Klemperer is a great source of stories. And Klemperer was once asked, and this is relevant to me because my sight is failing with immaculate degeneration. A reporter once asked Klemperer what he thought of the fact that Toscanini conducts from memory, and of course expected some reply relevant to the fact that Toscanini was virtually blind. He couldn't see the score. And Klemperer thought for a moment and responded, "But you know, I know how to read music."
Ouch.
Exactly.
That was a definite dig there, I think.
Yes.
You're playing Mozart's Concerto No. 12. It's one of the first pieces he writes when he gets to Vienna.
Yeah.
And yet there's a level of security there and knowledge, and it might be maybe the first great modern piano concerto.
It's most extraordinary. It is as sweet and playful and full of sunshine, good humor, stuff we need today badly.
Touché.
Yeah.
And with a lot of poignance and just passion in the second movement, I think.
Yeah. It was one of four that he wrote that could be played with string quartet, but one really should use a quintet. You need a double bass in there to double the cello. You need a bass line, otherwise it sounds all very much high in the throat,
true,
you know.
Do you play Mozart's cadenzas for this? He left us some.
Yes, he left us multiple cadenzas.
Yeah.
So I've made a choice, and I even add what is known as an Eingang, a little connection between sections. No, in the first movement, actually, at the recap.
Did a lot of work at Tanglewood. You're in your 90th year. Leonard Bernstein is no longer with us in his 100th year, who also did work at a lot of Tanglewood. You must have performed together.
We first performed, Lenny and I, at Ravinia in the summer of 1945. It was the old pre-fire Ravinia. It was just a canvas tent. Stakes into the ground held the tent. And I remember we did Liszt A major, and not on the same program, we played twice together, and D minor Brahms.
Wow.
And it stormed during the Brahms, most appropriately.
Yeah.
High wind, thunder, lightning. I've never had a more appropriate beginning, a background for the beginning of that piece.
You have to wait so long in that. You've got about a 4-minute wait in that piece. And I always wonder, like, what your recording is very stormy with George Sell, and it's a fabulous recording. But you're sitting there for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Fighting the urge to get the hell off the stage. It's an inspiration. It leads into what you do in such a inconspicuous way. Those last four bars, the cellos, play what your left hand plays when you come in. So there's this incredible kind of connection. You're just continuing. And he goes from two bars before you come in is D major. One bar before you come in, there is no third. It's neither major nor minor. And when you come in, it's minor. So it goes from major to nothing to minor.
And really lyrical when you enter,
actually.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I will not keep you a long time. There's a million things I want to ask you. There's certain pieces which seem to come back in your career, like the Schubert 960, the B-flat, which you both recorded early and late, the Brahms Piano Quintet, which you recorded early and late. I'm just curious about those two pieces because I think they're both magical, both early and late. Any thoughts on late Schubert? And
no, I don't think the words have been invented even by a Shakespeare, perhaps, that describe where the Schubert Sonata goes. The Brahms, they're all kinds of wondrous things. The theme, the second theme of the first movement, that C, F, G, A, da, 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 is one of his favorite progressions. He uses it all over the place. He starts the waltzes with a ba 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 bum 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 bum. Starts the last movement with it. Wompa, tum-pum-pa. Starts the quintet with it. In minor. He starts the scherzo of the second sonata. Da 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 dim pa pa dim pa pa. The Second Symphony, which is on our program, it's hidden. No, it's hidden. It opens ta ti ta ta ti ta ta ti ti. Yeah, going down.
So sweet.
So they're wonderful.
Yeah, not an accident.
No.
Not an accident.
No, incredible.
So I'm going to ask you the classic corny question, since we play your recordings all the time. You have a favorite?
Oh.
It's a terrible question, I know.
Yeah.
I should be ashamed of it. But
no. I think there are two pieces that I came closest to my intentions. One was the Mozart 503, the C major.
The C major is the antithesis of the A major. It is, it's trumpets and drums, it's public, yes. Oh my God, it's grand.
Yes, it's very, very special, very. And he wrote it, I think, within a few days. He started it within a few days of getting the news that his father had died.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this Olympian, that it's curious just psychologically what a release that must have been for him. Other was, in the parlance of the day, the rock pag rap.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Rachmaninoff Paganini Rhapsody, I think.
Yeah.
Those two, I think, came closest.
Rossini said Mozart was the comfort of his old age. True?
Oh, yes. Oh, by far. If you look at a Mozart manuscript, there are no mistakes. You know, he scratches out nothing. Nothing, it just poured out of him in a state of perfection. He just sat down and the hand wrote. You look at, for example, Chopin. If he makes a mistake, he blots out with ink the whole bar. You in no way ever could you possibly determine what was under that ink. He will never let you see what that mistake is. And then you look at Beethoven's manuscript, which is just chicken wire, chicken feet, just scratch, scratch, scratch. It's almost inconceivable to think that his oeuvre has been resolved. When you look at his manuscripts, how can they say that this was the note and that wasn't the note?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Right. What is giving you the most enjoyment musically now?
What music?
Yeah.
Lots of stuff. I grew up with kind of Germanic training, leading to Second Viennese School. So I'm enjoying a lot of Russian music now that I didn't have in my early times.
Yeah.
No, but I come back to Mozart, Schubert, I think mostly.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Jonathan, my pleasure. Good to see you.